Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for Easter Day. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. This is God's word. Alleluia! Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dead and then alive. Personal experience tells you and me that this does not happen. Dead people do not live. We've all lost loved ones. We've been to funerals. We've grieved over loss. We've seen bodies lowered into the ground. We think of death as a goodbye. Death is a time of hurt and sadness, and when you lose someone, it impacts you. Some people describe it as leaving a hole in their heart that can't be replaced. So without doubt, the women who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning were beginning to go through that experience themselves. Jesus Christ had been their Lord. They had loved him. He had taught them of forgiveness of sin and of the Father's great love for them. They knew of his miracles. They had even witnessed some of them. And they knew that he loved them with heavenly kind of love, unlike any type of love that this earth can offer. Dead people don't just get up and live, do they? It's the stuff of fantasy and make-believe to most people. Even you and I think that when we lay a person to rest in the earth, well, we're not going to see that person anymore, right? Death has finality to it. As I said a moment ago, we think of it as a goodbye. And we often call a funeral a chance to say goodbye to the one who's passed away. Even that phrase, passing away, somehow indicates that this person just doesn't even exist any longer. And then our culture embraces death as a means of getting rid of a problem. If a pregnancy is unplanned and inconvenient, just end the life. If somehow quality of life has diminished, end the life. Because death puts an end to things. And dead people do not get up and live. If a dead person were to get up and walk around, it would rightly terrify us. It was the same thing in our Holy Gospel this morning when the women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning and found it empty. They were greeted, it says, by a young man in a white robe who said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Those women ran away. Who can blame them? Mark writes, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone. And then the most obvious statement of the year, they were afraid. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Maybe they were afraid because of the young man. That man was probably an angel. And none of us have seen an angel, so that alone would probably cause us to lose all control of bodily function to see such a thing. More than likely, they were afraid because they were expecting to find the tomb of a dead man. Instead, the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. Easter is joyful. Easter is happy. But Easter, let's be honest, is a little bit unsettling because the one who was dead is no longer dead. Death, that thing that seems so permanent, undone, reversed. But of course, this isn't the stuff of zombies and fantasy and make-believe. This is real stuff. This is the truth at the heart of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ embraces death and then casts it aside. He shows that for those who believe in him, death is not permanent. Death is not the end. Death is not the victor. Jesus is permanent. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is the victor. This morning I invite you to consider just how astonishing Easter is. We don't often talk about being astonished anymore, do we? Maybe it's because in this age of the internet and social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, when we see every second of every person's lives, maybe nothing surprises us anymore. Maybe nothing catches us off guard. To be astonished sort of combines fear, disbelief, excitement, and joy all together into one. In fact, the dictionary says that to be astonished is to be, quote, filled with sudden and overpowering surprise and wonder. To be amazed. That's how St. Mark described those women. Trembling and astonishment had seized them. Jesus is alive. He is really alive. The one who was bloodied and beaten on Friday, now alive on Sunday morning. Dead and sealed in a tomb, no longer held by death. The certainty of death is undone. You probably heard it said that the only two things in life that are certain are death and taxes. Strike death off the list. Because death is no longer a certainty. Jesus proves that even death is under his power. Even death can't keep its hold. One of the readings that is often heard on Easter morning is Job chapter 19. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Job. It's not really a Sunday school type of story, so you would have probably had to have heard it in church in a sermon or in a Bible study or in your own personal devotions. Maybe you know the story of Job, maybe you don't. Job was a man in the Old Testament who had everything taken away from him. His possessions, his family, his health. And Job struggled to understand why God had allowed all of this to happen to him. But in the middle of his suffering, he says something that only a real faith in God would allow him to say. He says something completely astonishing. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job, in his faith, confessed that his Redeemer would live for all of eternity, which Jesus has done by rising from the dead. But Job also believed that he himself would live, even after death had destroyed his flesh. After worms and bugs had eaten it in the ground, it would once again live by the power and glory of God alone. How surprising, how wonderful, how astonishing is it that what Jesus accomplished on that first Easter morning is what awaits you and me. Just as surely as Jesus died, you and I will die. And we don't have to wait until our eyes close for good to understand death. Every day is death for you and me. Every day, our bodies are failing, our relationships are falling apart, sin is in the deepest corners of our hearts, ensuring our eventual death. But all of that comes undone when Jesus Christ rises from the dead. He lives so that you will live. Death has no power over Jesus, and it has lost its power over you and me. That's not a message just foretold by Job. It's penned throughout the entire Old Testament. We heard in our Easter sunrise service and also in our intro it for this service, the song of Moses and Israel after Pharaoh and his army had been drowned in the Red Sea. We hear it again in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. That's astonishing. But it shouldn't be, because the Word of God has told us this all along. Even Jesus himself told his followers that he would rise from the grave. And the young man at the tomb of Jesus reminded the women of that. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. The Bible is constantly talking about God as the victor over death. It's continually talking about a Savior who lives when everything around us is dying. Martin Luther once wrote in a sermon on this very same text today from Mark 16. He said, "In fact, the time never comes when we have preached and heard enough concerning the significance of Christ's resurrection. We are not preaching anything new, but always without ceasing about that man who is called Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who died for our sins and rose for our justification. Yet, even if we were again and again to preach about and dwell upon these events, we could never really exhaust their meaning. We would remain like infants and young children, just learning to speak, scarcely able to form half words, yes, scarcely speak quarter words." Undoubtedly, most everyone here this morning has been to an Easter service before. Some of you have been to many, many Easter services before. So maybe the Easter story is old news to you. Jesus died, he rose on Easter morning, he rose so we could have eternal life. Yeah, you've heard it all before. Consider this morning an opportunity to be shaken. Dead people living. The man who was disfigured beyond recognition at the hands of Roman soldiers and the priests and scribes and the order of Pontius Pilate, disfigured and bloodied by our sin and guilt, he's come back to life. That's astonishing. That is truly remarkable, surprising, wonderful. But beyond that, how astonishing that he rises to life this morning with the promise that you will be raised to life as well. You will live even after death. Now that is astonishing. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't think this is just a nice little story. It's incredible. It's unthinkable. And it's true. Jesus Christ is risen for you. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.